Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This Thursday at 8 p.m., the Philadelphia Orchestra, under the baton of its music director Yannick Nezet-Séguin, will take the stage at SPAC and be joined, for her first time at that venue, by opera star Renee Fleming. Renee Fleming, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
In your concert with the Philadelphia Orchestra this week, you're making your performance debut at SPAC, but you had been there as a child. What do you remember? Do you have fond memories of the location?
Well, I think I remember the racing. You know, that's as I recall, that's one of the things that we did. It was a family trip, and other than that, I don't recall what we saw. But I know it's a beautiful area, and I'm always excited to have a debut at this point.
You have worked with Yannick Nezet-Séguin often. What do you enjoy about working with him as a conductor?
Yannick is incredible. First of all, he has extraordinary musicianship, you know, and he's a real passion for opera and for singers and singing. So he usually knows the text as well or better than we do. And he has a real dancer's expressive way of transmitting the music, both to the orchestra and to the audience. And on top of it all, he's an incredibly lovely person.
That doesn't hurt, certainly.
Yes.
How do you work with him and with the orchestra to put together a program?
He suggests, and then, you know, I sort of make suggestions. It goes back and forth a little bit, and I love that he wanted to do the final scene of Otello, because that's a really beautiful thing to have on a summer night. I think it's very meditative in a way.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you'll be performing on Thursday?
So we're keeping it sort of in the Latin arena because I have the Salce and Ave Maria of this final scene from Verdi's Otello. So it's a very famous long scene. She knows she's going to die, and she's sings this very sad song and then prays. And then we've got a group of Italian songs and arias. And a couple of pieces in Spanish as well. So it's a fun program. It's a light program, but it's also very much has a Latin operatic flavor to it.
SPAC is an outdoor venue, and the weather has been extreme this summer. What do you have to do as a performer to cope with the heat or the cold or precipitation or humidity?
Well, you know, we're focused on the performance, and I assume that we're covered at least orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, you forget about it as soon as you're performing. You're miserable leading up and miserable after, but during the performance, we just don't think about it.
What are the differences in preparation and a mental state when you perform a concert versus a full opera?
A concert, it's very similar. You know, the only difference is that in an opera, of course, I'm getting a wig and a costume on, and I'm working with a lot of other people on stage, whereas in a concert setting, you have the orchestra, of course, but the dialogue is really between the conductor and the soloist and the audience. So it's more intimate in a way, which I enjoy it. I mean, this is mostly what I do.
Mm-hmm. And as your career has transitioned toward that, you do like it.
Oh yeah. But it's been the case for a long time. I mean, I've spent probably 70% of my time concertizing, and you know, after next year, it'll be more like 80%.
And you do it, of course. You perform all over the world. how often do you perform and how much control do you have over that?
You know, I have complete control. For instance, one of the things I'm enjoying now is seeing parts of the world I haven't seen. So I was just in Peru, for instance, which enabled us to see Machu Picchu. And we were in New Zealand and Australia last year, and I'll be touring Asia this coming season. So I really enjoy that. I love meeting new audiences and seeing different cultural landscapes. And this has been one of the real luxuries of my work. For that, I've had, you know, decades of really being on the road all the time, which is it's a challenging lifestyle.
Who travels with you?
Usually nobody. Huh. When I'm doing, you know, if I'm doing a piano recital, then it's the pianist. And if I'm doing orchestral concerts, very often I'm alone. Sometimes, you know, my husband will join me, and I have friends in many of the major capitals. But it's that kind of lifestyle.
I've never been anywhere internationally by myself and wandered around alone, which sounds like it would be wonderful. When the first time you did it, were you daunted at all?
When I was very young, that's such an interesting question. I was always nervous to go to a new place, but with several years of this type of travel under my belt, and also that you have to master some foreign languages, that makes all the difference in the world. Then I, you know, it's very empowering to have the confidence to go someplace new and know that you're going to be okay. And it's wonderful to feel like a global citizen. I highly recommend it.
I hadn't thought before this moment that you need to learn languages other than English to perform the music that you perform, but also to travel. Do languages come easy to you?
Well, I started young. I mean, not young enough, but young. So I had French in school, but I was lucky to have a Fulbright scholarship. So I studied in Germany for a year, and I speak fluent German, and my French was very good, and then some Italian. And those are the three languages that really are most often in my repertoire. But when I sing in Russian or Portuguese or Czech, I'm memorizing by rote, and that's very time-consuming and rather arduous. The good news is you never forget it.
Oh.
It's there for life.
You received a National Medal of the Arts in 2013. What did that honor mean to you?
Oh, that was a thrill, you know, to be at the White House and have a national honor like that. You know, we don't have that many awards, and, you know, I've gotten the Légion d'honneur, the Legion of Honor, and, of course, another equally important award in Germany, and we don't, that's the only one we have, and so it's thrilling, because I'm American, so you want to be recognized in your home.
Earlier this year, you were named a Kennedy Center Artistic Partner, along with Yo-Yo Ma and Q-Tip. What are the goals and requirements of that job, of that position?
Well, we get to work with the Kennedy Center and kind of divine a vision that aligns with what they want to do. So it's already been announced that I'm curating singing at the center with a project called Voices, and that's been really interesting to kind of expand what they present and draw attention to unique talent and people that I admire. But I'm also trying to work in the coming year on a project that combines the arts and health and medicine, and that I'm really excited about because it's drawing attention to what I see as an incredibly growing field.
Can you expand on that a little bit? What are the aspects of health and medicine that need to be explored and brought to the light?
Well, you know, there's an incredible amount of research being done on the brain and music, but there are also practitioners who are successfully treating children with autism and Alzheimer's patients and PTSD, pain relief, and even Parkinson's. So, and it goes on. And then you have hospitals who are all now kind of understanding that the environment they create has a lot to do with healing. And so culture is finding its way into these hospitals as well. So it goes, you know, and bringing this all together and kind of drawing attention and shining a light on this work, I think would be useful.
Absolutely. When you were appointed artistic partner at the Kennedy Center, do they give you kind of carte blanche to do what you will? They trust you, or do they require things from you?
We work together, actually. Mm. You know, it's a team environment, and you know, there'll be I come up with pages and pages of ideas, and some of which are practical and interesting to them, and some aren't. So you know, you can't do everything. So we choose sort of specific things to focus on, and I'm sure it's different for Yo-Yo Ma and different for Q-Tip. They will have their own projects. We just had an artist summit, which was I participated in, which was fascinating, assigning fellows, young fellows all over the country who are doing extraordinary work in communities and supporting them. So I think it's a really interesting frontier and a new time and a new challenge.
Renee Fleming will perform in An Evening with Renee Fleming with the Philadelphia Orchestra at SPAC on the 18th at 8 p.m., SPAC.org for ticket information. Renee Fleming, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's been a great honor to speak with you.
Thank you, Sarah. Wonderful speaking with you.
Once again, Renee Fleming will make her debut at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center with the Philadelphia Orchestra, led by Yannick Nezet-Séguin, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., SPAC.org for more information. That link is posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.